Good to be back with you this morning after being out last Sunday with the flu. This is the third Sunday of the year, so by now we all have our memory verse for the year memorized. And this is the Sunday I always select an elder or deacon to stand up where they're seated and quote that memory verse for the rest of us. Can we pick on an elder or deacon this morning? A deacon. Says one of the we don't really do that on the third Sunday. I was just kidding. Okay, I'm gonna try it out, see if I've got it memorized. And I'm a little nervous about always nervous about quoting the memory verse because I'm supposed to set the example here, and sometimes I flub the dub. The memory verse is from what passage in the Bible? 2 Timothy 2:15. There it is. Okay, here it is. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. All right? I had the flu last week and I memorized it. I don't know what your excuse is. But let's get it down by next Sunday and we'll start sharing that together. I really would prefer if that we had a brave individual from time to time on a Sunday. We did that several years ago, as I recall. We just stand up where you are and quote that memory verse for the church. So make that your task this week and get the word of God deep into your heart so that you can live it in your life. You ever tried to jump a car without jumper cables? Or tried to hammer a nail without a hammer? Ever tried to cut down a tree branch without a saw? Or stir a big pot of Nolens red beans without a big wooden spoon? I mean, tools are essential to life. Of course, we say we don't need them. The car always starts. We don't need jumper cables. Car always starts. We say we don't know how to use them. Even if I had a hammer, I wouldn't know how to use it. So what's the point of carrying it with me? But what if I told you that on Thursday evening, your car was not going to start? What if I told you that on Friday afternoon, one of your water pipes was going to bust and you needed to know how to turn off the water at the main valve? If you had that advanced information, might you get some tools in preparation and might you get on YouTube and watch how to use those tools because you knew you were going to need them later this week? Do you see where I'm going with this in the Christian life? Things are going to break. Things are going to fall apart. We know that in advance. Might it be advantageous of us to accumulate tools from God in a quick bus with the knowledge of knowing how to use them? I'm taking us this morning and for the next several weeks to Ephesians chapter 6. It's there that Paul describes the armor of God. As he uses that metaphor from the battlefield, we know that weaponry, armor, they are essential tools to the success of a person in the military. Just as for the Christian, tools are essential for our success as obedient children of God. And so next week we're going to start identifying tools for our toolkit. But this morning, as we look at verses 10 through 13, we'll hear Paul discuss why we in fact need armor or tools. This is what he writes. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. So the three most important rules of Bible study are the three most important rules in real estate, right? They are location, location, location. We've identified a small segment of scripture in Ephesians. It will help us to understand its location in order to glean as much as possible from this passage. So very briefly, chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians, Paul spends time helping people to understand the gospel. In chapters 4 through 6, Paul spends time helping people to live out the gospel that they understand. And so what we hear is that by understanding and believing the gospel, it is now possible for us to live out the gospel in our relationships with God and people. The two greatest commandments are what? Love God and love people. Sound easy, but it isn't. But the gospel gives us the power to do the two most important things in our lives, which is to love God and love people. So starting in chapter 4, Paul begins to discuss our relationship with God. He says things like, we're created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. He says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Be imitators of God. Find out what pleases the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 17, understand what the Lord's will is. Chapter 5, verse 19, sing and make music in your heart to who? To the Lord. Love God, and the gospel gives you the power to do that. He also talks about our relationships to each other in chapters 4 through 6. He says things like be patient, bearing with one another in love, put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. He says don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. He says be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. And in chapter 5, verse 22 through chapter 6 through 9, he identifies three everyday relationships: husbands and wives, parents and children, slaves and masters. And he describes why we can live in those relationships with power from God through the gospel. Okay, again, that sounds easy, right? Love God, love people, believe the gospel, understand the gospel, live out the gospel. But it's not easy. And Paul, in these three verses, tells us why. He begins in verse 10 by saying, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Please note what he did not say. He did not say, be strong in yourself and in your own willpower, because that just isn't going to cut it on this battlefield. We need to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power by putting on the whole armor of God. Now, there's a character in the Old Testament which describes how this works. Samson's his name. And the secret to Samson's strength was not his long hair, nor was it his diet. Every time Samson demonstrates this great feat of strength in the book of Judges, the scripture says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. That was the secret to his strength. When Samson lost his strength, it was not because Delilah cut his hair. No, the scripture says he lost his strength because the Spirit of the Lord left him. On his last day, in bondage, humiliated before the Philistines, chained to posts, with eyes gouged out, he demonstrated one final feat of strength in which he defeated more Philistines that day than he had in all of his previous days. And how did he do it? He cried out to the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. That was the secret to his strength, and that is the secret to our strength, to be strong in the Lord, to tap into the Lord, to work within the Lord and within his mighty power. It's the only chance we have of loving God and loving people the way we were meant to. When my daughter was like in middle school, we'd tell her to put on a coat before she went to school because, of course, it was cold. And many times she resisted. Didn't want to wear a coat. And on the battle would go, put on your coat. Don't want to wear the coat. Finally, Diane and I wisened up and said, fine, go out in the cold without a coat. And she did. Now, I never understood her resistance to wanting to take good, sound advice from Dad and put on her coat. Was it that middle school rebellion that just didn't want to do what Dad said to do? Was it because she didn't like the coats in her closet? I still don't have a logical answer to that question. But what I do know is that when she left the house without a coat, she went out into the cold and she was cold. And yet many of us do relationships with God and with people without putting on our coats. And so those relationships with God and people get cold. Because for whatever illogical reason, we allow the armor of God to remain in our closets while we go out into this world. I mean, look at your relationships right now. Your relationship with God, your relationship with people. How's it going? Are you feeling and sensing the Spirit of the Lord upon you, or does He seem distant to you? How's your marriage? How are things between you and your parents, or you and your children? How are things with people at work and people that you share pews with? Is it cold? Is it distant? It may have something to do with what is being unused within your closet. And so Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Sounds easy, it's not, and Paul tells us why. He says in verse 11 that the devil is scheming against us. That's why it's hard. Now, the Apostle Paul is one of the greatest intellectual thinkers in all of human history. A renowned atheist of our time said that one of the things that makes him squeamish about being an atheist is that he knows a lot of smart people who believe in God. And Paul not only believes in God, you see it right here, he also believes in the devil, this adversary of God's. And throughout the landscape of the Bible, the devil is God's adversary. Do you know what that means? It means that everything God is for, the devil is against. If God is for life, the devil is for death. If God is for joy, the devil is for pain. If God is for peace, the devil is for war. And everything God gives us, the devil wants to remove from us. Everything that God heals in us and around us, the devil wants to destroy in us and around us. God heals your body, the devil wants to destroy your body. God heals your marriage, the devil wants to destroy your marriage. God heals a rift in your relationship with your children, the devil wants to put another wedge in your relationship between you and your children. Everything God is for, the devil is against. And Paul uses this word scheme to paint a picture for us, because it's where we get our word methodical. And so the devil is methodically planning and purposing things in our lives to make our lives hard for us so that we can't do relationships with God and with people the way we were meant to. In Andrew Lloyd Webber's The Phantom of the Opera, Christine Daae receives voice training from a mysterious musician she calls the Angel of Light. She believes this is the angel her dying father had promised to send her to complete her musical training. But as the plot thickens, we learn that he is no angel of light, but in fact a demented man who wants to carry her away into the underground of the opera house to possess her for himself. Angel of light. The Bible actually says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, that the devil masquerades as an angel of light. He sounds like your friend. He sounds like he's for you, when in fact he's against you. I mean, in the Garden of Eden, he certainly seemed friendly enough to Adam and Eve. Man, you guys are getting a raw deal. Y'all deserve so much more than what you're being given here. I mean, you're being held back. You're not fully realizing your potential. If you would just act out on your own and do the forbidden, life would get so much better for you. He sounds like an angel of light who is in fact masquerading as an angel of death. And so one of the greatest thinkers in all of human history is giving us an explanation for why life is so difficult. Look at verse 12. He says, your battle, your struggle is not a human struggle. Your battle, your struggle is a demonic struggle. There is this unseen world where dark forces dwell, and they are methodically scheming and working and planning to ruin your life. That is why life is so hard. In doing even the easiest of things, which is to open up the closet and put on the armor of God, turns out to be a hard thing for you. My daughter recently introduced me to a Netflix series called Stranger Things. Stranger Things. In the series, there is our world, and there is what is called the upside down, the world underneath our world. And there are some bad forces in the upside down that sometimes intersect with our world and do awful things. Now, most of the people in Hawkins, Pennsylvania, will never believe in the upside down. But those who have encountered its dark forces will never forget the upside down. And Paul is saying that our battle is with the upside down. Your enemy is not the person you're seated next to. Your ultimate enemy is the devil who is scheming against you. And so I just want to ask you a very basic question. Do you believe verse 12? I mean, do you believe what Paul wrote in verse 12? Do you live with a consciousness of why things in life are so hard and who is working against you methodically to destroy you? Do you believe that? Do you take it seriously in your life? Paul says, the reason why it's hard to put on the whole armor of God is because the devil is scheming against us. And it's why we're still struggling in our relationships with God, in our relationships with each other. And so Paul says finally in verse 13, he says, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to what? Stand. Is anyone like falling? Is that fun? When my mom moved a few years ago, to her new place on the east side of New Orleans. During my first initial visit, I went on a morning run, and the landscape of the neighborhood was obviously unfamiliar to me. And I got distracted by something I was looking at. And I'm telling you, before I knew it, I was falling to the ground. You ever had that feeling before? You're falling to the ground before you realize you're falling to the ground. The slope of the sidewalk went up. I didn't pay attention. I tripped. And if it had not been for my fist, I'm not kidding you, I like landed face first, my fist to the ground, and my nose literally an inch off the concrete. And it was like 5 seconds before I was like, what happened? Like, how did I get here? And then I got up and looked around, wanted to see if anybody was looking. You know, yeah, I'm good. Yeah. Yeah. It is no fun to fall. How do we keep from falling? Paul says, put on the armor of God. Get out your toolbox and use the tools that God has given you to protect you from the schemes of the devil. There's good news. When we do fall, the gospel brings us back up. And I always tell people that I work with who are disappointed in themselves, who are full of guilt and shame because of their most recent fall, I always tell them that the day they're confessing this to me is a really good day because they're back up. They're still not laying on the ground, living in misery because of their latest fall. They're back up. And the gospel gives us the power to get back up. And the gospel gives us the power to keep us upright from the devil's schemes. And so in the weeks to come, we're going to talk about tools like truth and righteousness and faith and salvation and the word of God. I just want us to leave this morning answering the question, why do we need tools? Look at your life. The day of evil has come and will continue to come. Things in our lives are going to break. Things in our lives are going to be painful. And the only way we're going to be able to stand up against all of that hell and misery that the devil has unleashed upon us is if we put on the whole armor of God. May we be a church this week who opens the closet, opens the toolbox, and is clothed with the Lord and his mighty power. Not for our glory, but for the glory of the one who died for us. Before we leave this morning, if we can pray for you on your journey as a Christian, if you need to repent and confess sin and make things right in your relationship with God and with others, if you just need counsel or encouragement, or if you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus Christ and to be baptized in the Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, do it now. Today is the day of salvation. Meet me down front and tell me how we can help you as together we stand and sing.
Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. Strong in the strength which God supplies. Strong in the strength which God supplies through His beloved Son. Strong in the Lord of hosts and in His deep power. Who in the strength of Jesus trust? Who in the strength of Jesus trust is more than conquerors? Stand then in His great might, with all His strength endured. But take to arm you for the fight. But take to arm you for the fight, the pan of God.
Please be seated. All right, you ready for some more good news? Can you take a little more good news? David and Debbie Jackson, who moved here about a year ago or so from the great state of Louisiana.